Here.
The Supreme Court of the State of Wisconsin is now in session. Your silence is commanded.
Thank you. Please sit down. We're delighted to welcome this morning with us Riverdale High School students. Is that correct? Good. Would they please stand so we can see you? Well, you're dominating that part of the room, so now we know.
What school?
This is Riverdale High School. What community is that in?
Muscadet.
Muscadet.
Lovely, lively, southwestern Wisconsin.
Okay. Good. Well, you're welcome, and please be seated. Riverdale High School students are here with the Court with Class program that is run by the State Bar of Wisconsin and the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. These students have come with us to hear your oral argument, and they have received materials on this case, and they have met with lawyers and others about the case. And then at noon, they will, in accordance with the program, join with Justice Prosser and talk about the procedures used. And anyone who would like to stay for that discussion is welcome to join the students and Justice Prosser. We've met the students, and now let me introduce the court to you all. On my far right is Justice Prosser, and seated next to him is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. And ordinarily in this empty chair is Justice William Babbage, but he wasn't feeling well and so had to leave. But I believe that he will listen to the tape and participate in this argument. I am Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice, and to my left is also an empty chair, but it's nothing I've done, nor have I contaminated or infected these two people. Justice Wilcox has had surgery. He is recovering well, but could not be here. But Justice Wilcox will not participate in the decision of this case. And seated next to the empty chair to the left is Justice Patrick Crux, and on the far left is Justice Diane Sykes. With those introductions made, I will now turn to the second case for this morning, 01-1970, James Bruno et al. Versus Milwaukee County et al. Representing James Bruno is Lynn Labor. Counsel Labor.
May it please the Court, Your Honor. I am Attorney Lynn Labor, and I represent the plaintiffs, appellants, petitioners in this case. I would like to acknowledge that James Bruno, who is the first listed plaintiff in this action, is present, and others that we were hoping could be here were too elderly to make this trip to Madison today. The issue is whether or not military service credit should be denied to County of Milwaukee retirees who retired and began receiving their pensions before July 1st of 1985 under the provisions of an ordinance directing that military service credit shall apply to all retirees who retired from the county before July 1st of 1985. The benefit of military service credit is provided in recognition of military service to the country. During the time plaintiffs were serving their country in the military, they lost economic advantages that others not serving the country were receiving, specifically 1 to 4 years of wages contributing to increased pensions. World War II veterans are dying at the rate of 1,200 per day, leaving us with ever fewer living examples of the men and women whose bravery, determination, and accomplishments earned them the label of America's greatest generation, Figures were supplied by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, issue of December 29, 2002. The Milwaukee County Board passed the Military Service Credit Ordinance to treat county veterans equitably as compared with other veterans in statewide and federal government service. It initially applied to non-represented county employees. It was extended by a later amendment to represented employees who retired between the dates of July 1st, 85 to January 26th of 1989. There was a third amendment to the credit, and that extended, again, credit to those who retired, to represented employees who retired after January 26th of 1989. The last amendment came in 1996, and it extended the credit to all those who retired before July 1st of 1985. The purpose of the expansions to the ordinance was to treat all county veterans equally so that they could receive advantages that other county veterans were receiving. When plaintiffs were picking up dead bodies, when their ships were going down, and when they were shooting at the Battle of the Bulge, no one asked them if they were going to defer their pensions.
Counsel, the argument you make with regard to legislative history here or the purpose for the board passing this ordinance makes common sense to me. But sometimes my common sense isn't the same common sense as others. And do you have anything in the record to support your argument that the purpose was to treat all veterans equally, or that what you referred to earlier, that the purpose was to compensate and recognize those who served our country? Where in the record do you find the purpose of this particular amendment to the ordinance?
Other than common sense, there is a preamble to the amendment, and when you ask where in the record, it doesn't exist in the record. The preamble was a short paragraph that was not carried over into the county general ordinances as published. It was something that I came upon last night in an Orla case that was an unpublished case, and it was printed in the complaint, and there was an attachment to it. And it, do you want me to quote what was written in the preamble? It's not in the record.
Well, could we take judicial notice of it? Is this an official publication of the Milwaukee County, this ordinance and preamble?
Yes, it is. But it doesn't get, was not reprinted in the county general ordinance in what has been put in the record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll have to just...
just maybe quote it. Does opposing counsel have any problem with the court taking judicial notice of it?
Is this the preamble to the resolution that affected the amendment for the pre-85 retirees, or where is this from exactly?
It's actually from the original amendment, it's carried over.
I'm not sure what that means, carried over. As counsel described, there was a series of amendments.
Okay, fine.
So,
in other words, in the record at least, there's nothing to support your argument for purpose, although you refer to some original preamble of the original or earlier legislation and not to the specific amendment. Is that what you're, do I get that right?
That is correct. And I do have the preamble for this later amendment, and it doesn't state anything differently. It's basically stating that it's to equalize the benefit.
But the thing you want to quote is quoted in an unpublished Court of Appeals opinion, is that it?
It's not even a Court of Appeals opinion, Your Honor. What it was,
Let's proceed on without.
Let me try it this way. Your opposing counsel says that the purpose, as I understand the argument, that the purpose of the amendment in the ordinance is to encourage and promote longevity of service. Do you agree with that is the purpose of the amendment to the ordinance?
Absolutely not, for many reasons.
So tell me what those reasons are.
The foremost reason is that this is a military service credit provision. It's so entitled. Its purpose is to recognize service in the military. There are other provisions in the ordinance that encourage, if you will, longevity of employment. One's pension is dependent upon their final average salary and the number of years that they work. The more years that they work, there's a multiplier of 2%, for instance, for the majority of people, which is multiplied by the number of years, which results in an increased pension. The older one is, the higher their final average salary, the longer that they work, the more their pension benefit is going to be. This is a military service provision. In the first paragraph of this specific section of the ordinance, it states that credit is given to any employee who has worked 5 years for the County of Milwaukee. Most importantly, this amendment was effective in January of 1997. It rewarded military service that occurred before 1974, and it gave that credit to people who retired before 1985, passing something more than 11 years after employees have retired cannot possibly encourage them to continue their employment. It's ridiculous. It can't encourage them to perform more military service. The military service had to have been performed 22 years before the ordinance was passed. They passed the ordinance knowing that the people that it was going to be benefiting had retired in 1985, 11 years before they decided and enacted the ordinance.
Ms. Labor, how do you define retirement? What is your definition that you're relying on for retirement?
I have reprinted the definition of retirement as found in the dictionary in our reply brief. There is no definition of retirement or use of the word retirement in the military service credit provision of the ordinance. They use the term retirees and retired. They don't use the word retirement. There is a definition in the broader county general ordinances of the word retirement, and so I have used both. The dictionary, if you look at the plain meaning of the phrase, all retirees who retired before July 1 of 1985, and you look at the dictionary definition of retirement, it simply means taking each word and putting it together. That I have that right here. Webster Dictionary defines the word retirement as having discontinued work after long service. There is nothing in that definition that speaks to how long service might be. Now, in the phrase, all those who retired from the county, what that means is that the word the is isolating county, which is the governmental agency that the employees or the pensioners had to have worked for and retired from to receive the benefits.
So are basically you looking at the idea that if you terminated your employment and sometime in the future you could draw a pension, you had retired?
Absolutely. The definition of retirement, which appears in the ordinance, simply meant that the member had to have fulfilled all of the requirements for a pension. And under the ordinance, deferred vested pensioners fulfill the requirements for their pension if they're not fired for other than good cause. In other words, if they're fired for bad cause or a bad deed or something like that, they're not eligible for a pension. They're eligible for a pension if they have at least, I believe it's $10 in their pension account at the age of 60. $10 per month in their pension account at the age of 60. And they have to elect not to withdraw any part of their membership account prior to reaching the age of 60.
And I take it you maintain that all of the people that you represent would ultimately have been eligible and did indeed start receiving a pension.
They all received their pension before July 1 of 1985. They were all drawing their pensions at that point in time. In fact, their ages on July 1st of 1985 were 59, 57, and 64, and that in order is Mr. Bruno, Mr. Schindler, and Mr. Wessling. In addition, under this definition, and I'm referring here to Section 4.5 entitled Deferred Vested Retirement of the Milwaukee County Code, it indicates that payment of a deferred vested pension shall commence as of the member's normal retirement date. That's payment of a deferred vested pension. Whereas under the definition of retirement, which is in a different section, Section 2.19 entitled Retirement, or I should say subsection 2.19, which is actually page 18 of our appendix, it says retirement shall be considered as commencing on the day immediately following a member's last day of employment. It does not state that it commences on the day immediately following the day they turn age 60 or 55. It says immediately following their last day of employment.
Well, it's very confusing because 2.17 says normal retirement date shall be the first day of the month following the date on which the member reaches the minimum age for normal retirement. And yet retirement is the last day of employment, but normal retirement date is the date you get, you reach the age. And 218 says normal retirement age shall be 57 for deputy sheriffs and 60 for all other members. So they just don't hang together.
Correct, but there are about 8 different classifications of retirees or retirements, types of retirements. Normal retirement dates, or a normal retirement in terms of a classification of retirement, is only one. And that lists the age as being 60. However, there are obviously our deferred vested retirees who have to work 6 years, a minimum of 6 years, some of them 10 years depending on their date of hire, others 15 years depending on their date of hire. There is 2 types of disability pensions, one in ordinary and one in accidental. Only the ordinary disability pension is based on length of service, and that requires 15 years of service. It has no age limitation. Someone could have started when they were 20 years old, gone out on a disability, an ordinary disability pension when they were 35, and have retired from the County of Milwaukee.
Well, Counsel, when you started this argument, you indicated that this Milwaukee County amendment relating to military credit is one that was ordinary, that is, other entities have it and that the state has it. So how is it interpreted in those other statutes, ordinances, pension plans, et cetera?
I've never heard of or known of the discrimination that's been made in this case against deferred vested retirees.
Well, have you heard of or know of that it's positively interpreted the way you want it interpreted? Do you have any rules, regulations?
No. and nor as precedent.
You please advise us, how was this credit paid for?
Meaning, how is it calculated, or whose funds does it, what funding board does it come out of?
Yeah, if I understand it, benefits were extended, military credits were extended to people over at different periods of time. And when the pension board or whoever it was went back in time to reach people who had retired before July 1st, 1985, that was a cost. How was that cost paid for?
It's paid out of the pension fund.
Out of the pension fund?
Right, which is administered by the pension board. There were annual reports that were submitted as part of the record showing what the annual report of the pension board and what the investments were and what liabilities were, what payments have been made. It comes out of the County of Milwaukee pension fund.
How is the pension fund funded, I think.
How is it funded?
I think that's what the...
Okay. At certain periods of time, it was jointly funded by the employee and the employer being the County of Milwaukee. For people, after a certain period of time, the County of Milwaukee made 100% of the contributions.
The essence of this, though, is that, correct me if I'm wrong, people who are employed by Milwaukee County and retire sometime after July 1st, 1985, or have a military credit, and people who retired before July 1st, 1985 have a military credit, unless they retired at a time when they didn't immediately collect the pension. Is that right?
I apologize. I think I got lost in the question. And are you saying what was the intent, or
what the effect is?
What the effect is?
Yeah.
Excuse me if I'm not answering this as to what you had asked, but the effect was originally to give credit to county veterans because other federal, state governments were getting it. When they started off, it was only given to non-represented or non-union employees with no distinction between whether or not they were deferred or anything like that. There's never been that distinction made in the language whatsoever in the ordinance. There was an uproar by the represented employees. Why are they less equal or not their service not as valuable? Why aren't they getting the credit? And due to that uproar and lawsuits, the county board extended it to the represented members, and they then had things broken down by dates, retire after July 1 of 1985, and then end date of retiring January of 1989. Then the people that had retired before that date and after January 26 of 89 were in an uproar and got legal counsel and were writing letters to the county board. And they were heard, and the county board then extended it to represented, non-represented employees or members, regardless, basically, of the dates that they retired. Then that left, as long as it extended it past the January 26, 89 end date. Then that left this last group who retired before 1985 not getting a benefit, and the same questions and inability to understand any logical distinction between someone's military service and their military service went in front of the county board. They wrote letters. I've got this Orla case was one of the suits from that time period. It was just a circuit court case. And then the county board did extend it to them. And so what happened is, in the beginning, someone had more powerful voices, and there were the non-union representatives. And when it became evident that this was not an equitable thing to do. They kept extending it. Had they begun in the beginning and said it applied to everybody, then perhaps we, wouldn't be here at this point in time. There's never been an opinion from anybody on the county board that this wouldn't apply to deferred vested pensioners. In fact, the depositions that were taken of Corporation Counsel Robert Ott, the then Director of Human Relations Gary Daubert, and the Secretary of the Employees Retirement System Jack Amaral, they've all concurred that this opinion that it shouldn't apply to deferred vested retirees did not originate from the county board, and it's never been raised in front of the county board.
Has it ever been raised in front of the pension board?
No, it has not.
So is that an impediment of us looking at this case? I don't know this, but it appears to me that the board's powers include to decide all questions of eligibility and determine the amount, referring to 8.17 of the ordinance involving the retirement system. So as I understand the state of the record, based on reading portions of the depositions of those gentlemen, that the board has never opined on this.
The pension board has not. And the pension board, I go in front of the pension board very often, have been for quite a while. Robert Ott, ex-corporation counsel, was corporation counsel or counsel to the pension board. Gary Daubert also was an ex officio member of the pension board. And Jack Amaral, of course, is the secretary. The three of those people together, opinion originating from legal counsel, didn't even think that they had to run it through the board. And I know how that board is controlled. There are seven members of the board. Three of them are appointed by the county executive. One is Gary Daubert, who sits there ex officio, and the other three are elected.
So suffice it to say, although the rules require that before there be a denial of benefits, that benefits have been denied without, from your point of view, without following the procedures set forth in the ordinance?
Correct. And that had it been brought in front of the board, there's an automatic four votes there, including one of Gary Daubert, that will do what Corporation Counsel says. We'll never hear the story of what is intended by the county board. Now, had we gone and said after this period of time, well, let's run it by the county board, we would be right back here, because that is who they listen to. And that has not been raised in this case, whether or not there are, and I don't believe there's a legal basis to my knowledge that should have been exhausted. It's really the plain reading of the statute, in my opinion, anyhow. Of what it says, and in everyone else's opinion so far, meaning the trial court, opposing counsel, and the Court of Appeals, that this is an unambiguous statute, or this provision is unambiguous, and that it's clear. And what is the plain meaning? This light is red. Thank you very much.
You are concluded for your first part of your argument. You have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Jorgensen, Assistant Corporation Counsel of Milwaukee, representing Milwaukee County et al.
Thank you. Thank you, Justice Abramson. I am John Jorgensen. I'm a Principal Assistant Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County, and I'm representing the defendant respondents in this matter, Milwaukee County, its Employee Retirement System, and its Pension Board, which I've referred to in my submissions generally as the county. There may be a temptation to think that because this case involves both the county and pensions, that it comes freighted with all the issues of pension law, politics, and public administration that surround what the media are pleased to call the Milwaukee County pension scandal. And I think that counsel opposed has invited the court in that direction by referring to my former boss, as well as Mr. Dobert, whose situations are well known. And I would note that even in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's yet another story about the county pension situation. But this case does not, in fact, come freighted with all those issues, and nor does it touch upon any of the significant issues that arose in the recent Court of Appeals decisions around the City of Milwaukee pension system, which touched on issues of forbidden diminishment of vested benefit contracts for employees who were members of that system. All we're concerned about in this case is the meaning and application of specific ordinance language, which counsel has read and you've read, I'm sure, in reading the briefs, that predates all of those controversies and that operates to slightly boost the pensions of some county retirees who served in the armed forces between 1938 and 1974, but which had no effect at all on the pensions of the petitioners in this case because they don't fall within the ambit of that language.
Counsel?
Yes.
If I may, I do not want to create issues where there are no issues. And I asked your opposing counsel regarding the powers of the board. It appears to me under the ordinance that only the board has the power to determine questions of eligibility. It also appears to me by reading of the depositions that this did not come before the board. Does this have any legal significance in this case?
I thought about that, and I thought about it a few times since I filed my answer and declined or failed or neglected to raise the defense of exhaustion of administrative remedies. I honestly don't know. We have no reported case law arising under the session law which established the Milwaukee County pension system or under the pension ordinance, which addresses the question of whether it's necessary to exhaust your administrative remedy by going to the pension board with your complaint about your denial or reduction or diminishment of benefits before you go to circuit court. There just haven't been, it just hasn't come up. I think now, as I reflect on it, that perhaps it would have been a viable affirmative defense had I timely raised it, but frankly, I don't believe I did, and it's not an issue that we've talked about at any prior stage of the proceeding in the circuit court or at the Court of Appeals.
The flip side of exhaustion of remedies question is whether or not the county has any authority to deny requested benefits absent action by the board.
Well, the pension system is administered in the first instance by its administrative staff, Mr. Amaral, its executive secretary, with the advice of the director of human resources, Mr. Dobert, who was formerly, and with the statutory function of the corporation counsel as legal counsel to the pension system. And it would be my opinion that it's not necessary that every action of the pension of the employee retirement system and the administration of the pension system has to be raised as an issue before the board. I think in this circumstance, the people involved at the administrative level understood the plain meaning of the ordinance and said, this is limited to people who retired from the county. That's clear to us. I also want to point out there was a lot of material offered by Ms. Labor that's completely outside and unsupported by the record, and I'm relying on the court to treat that material accordingly. I'm kind of personally offended by the proposition that this was some sort of a corrupt operation where the pension board were stooges of Mr. Ott or Mr. Dobert or the former county executive. That's simply untrue, and certainly it's unsupported by anything in the record. It's also incorrect to state, by the way, that the limitation of the military pension service credit to people who retired from active service to the exclusion of those who drew deferred vested pensions only arose in connection with the pre-July 1, 1985 retirees. The deposition testimony of Mr. Amaral and I believe of Mr. Dobert and Mr. Ott as well, which is included in the appendix to the appellant's brief in the Court of Appeals, demonstrates that from day one, that additional pension service credit for pre-employment military service has been limited to those who retired directly from the active service, who in fact retired from the county within the meaning of the county pension ordinance. So I guess I'm kind of looping around here, but I guess my position would be that the language was so clear that it wasn't necessary to bring the matter up in front of the board, and the executive secretary and the administrative staff of the pension system did not, nor did Ms. Labor's clients or any of them raise that matter before the pension board.
You don't want us to remand it to the county, to the pension board for making a decision?
No, because I think under the settled canons of statutory construction, which apply to ordinance construction as well, it's clear that this additional pension service credit is limited to those persons who went directly from active service with the county to pension status. I think the basic rules apply here, and they clearly apply, and they compel the conclusion that both the Circuit Court and the Court of Appeals reached in this case. Ordinances, like statutes, should be construed based on their plain meaning, and that plain meaning should be informed by the presumption that each word or phrase in the subject ordinance, in fact, has a meaning, and a construction that renders any part of it superfluous should be avoided, and that in order to clarify any doubt as to the meaning of an ordinance, it's appropriate to look to the ordinance as a whole, which would include, of course, any relevant definitional sections of the ordinance. I think the Court of Appeals' brief per curiam opinion sums it up very nicely. In order for Ms. Labor's clients to prevail, it would be necessary either to change the meaning of the language that the county board chose to use or ignore part of it. Retirement is a defined term in the county ordinances. Retirement shall mean termination of employment after a member has fulfilled all requirements for a pension. These petitioners all terminated county employment before they had fulfilled all the requirements for a pension, in particular before they had reached ordinary retirement age, which is a requirement to begin drawing your pension, as was brought out by one of the justices in their earlier questioning and reading of the county pension ordinance.
So is a deferred vested pension a pension?
Yes.
Then why don't these people qualify?
Because they did not retire from the county. They did not terminate county service after they had fulfilled all requirements for a pension. They terminated county service before they had fulfilled all requirements for a pension, and thereafter, upon reaching ordinary retirement age, became eligible to draw a deferred vested pension.
Did they fulfill all the requirements for a deferred vested pension before they left county service?
They had served long enough to vest, yes.
Well, you answered my prior question in the affirmative. In other words, I asked you whether a deferred vested pension is a pension, and you said yes, it was.
Yeah.
And these people fulfilled all requirements for that sort of a pension, correct?
Yes. Upon leaving service, they were vested. They had served enough time to be entitled to draw a pension upon subsequently reaching ordinary retirement age, and that, I believe, is defined in the county pension ordinance as a deferred vested pension.
So why doesn't that constitute a retirement under this definition? It's a different sort of a retirement than some of these others that are denominated in the ordinance, but why doesn't that constitute a retirement? I mean, an early retirement is a retirement, correct?
Right, and an early retirement, had they taken early retirement, in my view, yes, they would have fulfilled the requirements to receive the additional military pension service credit because they had, in fact, fulfilled all the requirements for a pension. It would be reduced under the terms of the pension ordinance because they left before they reached, I believe in all of their cases, the age of 60 would have been the applicable age. So they could have retired at age 55, and in fact, I believe some of them did begin to draw their deferred vested pensions between the ages of 55 and 60, and then there was a percentage reduction for however long it was before they turned 60.
And there are other kinds of retirements. There's normal retirement, there's early retirement, there's disability retirement.
Right, and you know, counsel went into that at some length, and I view those references to those other types of retirements as, in a sense, red herrings. They don't apply to any of the parties in this action. They are calculated and based on considerations which are separate and apart from any considerations which are really relevant to today's discussion. For instance, if you become, I don't know that you need any service time to qualify for an accidental disability retirement. You just have to be hurt and disabled on the job, and then you get a minimum pension of 75%. It's not based, it's based on considerations other than tenure, other than length of tenure. And its purpose is obviously other than to reward length of tenure. It's the purposes of the disability retirements are to guarantee that a person who is disabled in the course of his employment has some minimum level of support from the county as his former employer. So there's nothing in the record, really, aside from whatever state, whatever ordinance language may be in there about these other kinds of retirement, and I would submit that they are not really relevant to the issue at hand, which is what is the meaning of the term to retire from the county within the meaning of the military pension service credit amendments.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at by reference to the contract language, excuse me, the ordinance language. And under the ordinance language, a deferred vested retirement, that's what it's called in section 4.5 of the ordinance. It's called a deferred vested retirement. And the overall definition of retirement does not exclude these people. And it seems to me your reading of the overall definition of retirement is different from what the language says. The language says, retirement shall mean termination of employment after a member has fulfilled all requirements for a pension. This is a pension.
Right.
And these people have fulfilled all the requirements for that, and it seems to me you want us to read it to say, retirement shall mean termination of employment after a member has fulfilled all requirements to begin receiving payment of a pension. You want us to add those words.
I don't think that requires any additions. I think the requirements for a pension means the requirements to become eligible for a pension.
To begin receiving a pension, that's your argument.
Right.
You're not immediately eligible to start receiving payment on a pension on the date of termination, then you haven't retired. But that adds words to the language.
We're not going to come to any agreement here. I would submit, however, that had any of these petitioners immediately upon terminating service gone into the offices of the employee retirement system and said, I have worked long enough for my pension to vest, I'd like to get my pension now. He or she would have been told, no, you have not fulfilled all the requirements because you're not old enough yet.
Counsel, let's just say that that's ambiguous. If it's ambiguous, then I would take a look, first of all, at the purpose. How many times do we cite the maxim that, you know, our charge is to discern the intent of the legislation? So you argue in your brief that the intent of this amendment is to promote the purpose, is to encourage and promote longevity of service.
Well, that's, we kind of got off on that earlier during Ms. Labor's presentation, and that exaggerates the extent to which I had ever relied on longevity of service as an argument in this case. That argument goes back to an earlier stage of the litigation when a whole variety of attacks, including equal protection and whatnot, were in play, and those have been largely abandoned. And it was more or less a fallback position in response to really the unmade argument that there is some ambiguity here, because I took the position that there was not. And to the extent that there was, or that there was some reason to deviate from what I viewed as the clear meaning of the ordinance, we could say that there's nothing unusual or counterintuitive about a pension benefit which required an employee to serve all the way out till he was eligible to retire, as opposed to leaving sooner, as soon as his pension vested. You know, in that, as a general proposition, it's one of the purposes of the pension ordinance to encourage longevity of service. I think that whole argument really, the importance of it has now been overemphasized somewhat.
It sounds to me, and I want to be fair, that you're a bit distancing yourself from either that argument or the import of that argument.
It was never intended as the primary thrust of my argument. I mean, throughout, I think from the original administration of this ordinance and the prior ordinances, frankly, extending the credit to later retirees, those after 89 and those between 85 and 89, the understanding of the pension system had always been that the language is clear and that it was limited to those persons who left from active service to the exclusion of those in deferred vested status.
Let me get back to my question. If this isn't the purpose of the amendment, the language that we have before us that we're construing, what is the purpose of the amendment to military service set forth at Appendix 17, that is the subject of our interpretation here today? What was the purpose of that amendment?
Oh, I don't argue at all with Ms. Labor that the primary purpose was to provide additional pension benefits in recognition to the military service of a certain defined class of county retirees. And that, as kind of a corollary or ancillary to that, it was to afford them the same type of recognition that was available to retirees in the state employee retirement system.
If that is the purpose, then is a finding of ambiguity fatal to your argument? In other words, once it is found that there may be ambiguity, we go to the purpose. And if the purpose is as you suggest, then finding in favor of the plaintiffs promotes that purpose, it seems to me.
Is it fatal? It's certainly damaging.
Okay.
I hate to go on the record saying that it would be fatal, because I think I better stop there, unless you require additional response. But that does lead me in a direction to a point that I wanted to cover, because it was raised by one of the justices' earlier questions and not really responded to by Ms. Labor, and that had to do with the treatment of similarly situated veterans in the state employee retirement system. And in that respect, I'd invite the Court's attention to the definitional section of Chapter 40, which is the statute that governs the state employee retirement system, and particularly to Section 40.02, I believe it's Parent 15. And there is comparable provision there for military pension service credit for pre-employment military service, which is what we're talking about here, service that came before the person entered the public service, and which in the olden days would not have counted. Extension of additional pension service credit to such veterans who served between 1938 and 1974. I think the year similar to the comparable county pension provision. And the statute that governs the state employee retirement system does not use the term retiree. Instead, it talks about members of that system who terminated their creditable service before a given date, or after a given date, I think, actually, in that case, which is completely other language and much clearer language, and I think manifests an intent to benefit any member of that system who served sufficient length of time to vest in the pension system and to be eligible for the military pension service credit according to the formula that's in that statute. And I think that if the county board had chosen to use that language in the ordinance, then it would be clear that these folks would all be entitled to additional pension service credit for their military service because they terminated creditable service before the date in question under the ordinance, which is July 1st, 1985. But for whatever reason, the county board did not elect to use that language. The county board elected to use the language that it did elect to use, which required that in order to be eligible for this additional pension service credit, an otherwise qualifying veteran had to retire from county service.
Could I ask you a question? I'm not sure I understood something you said earlier.
I apologize.
Well, this is my fault. If we have a county employee right now who has served a sufficient time to become vested for a pension, and this person had some military service, so that if he or she reached the requisite normal retirement age, they could retire. They would get the military credit, wouldn't they?
Right. Under amendments to the pension ordinance, which preceded the amendment that we're considering here, as Ms. Labor described, it was sort of a sequential thing. Initially, military pension service credit for pre-employment military service was made available to non-represented employees who retired after 1989. And the sequence of events is described by Ms. Labor in terms of lawsuits and complaining and other kind of outrages I can't really speak to, but the sequence of events is described in my brief. It was subsequently extended to persons who retired between 85 and 89 and to those after 89, including represented employees, if their union bargained for that benefit. I think contrary to the suggestion of Ms. Labor, there was a reluctance to automatically extend any benefit to represented employees unless and until they bargained for it based on the general proposition of labor law that would have been a prohibited practice, so you can't unilaterally give benefits to represented employees.
What I'm really trying to get at is this.
So I think the answer to your question is if we had an employee right now who is 59, turns 60 next month, reaches ordinary retirement age, retires, and has military service predating January 1 of 1974, which is the cutoff date under the ordinance, yes, that person would be eligible for additional pension service credit based upon that pre-employment military service according to the formula that appears in the ordinance.
Okay. Now, suppose I was a county employee, and I'm not in protective service, and I'm not 60, I'm 55, and I'm offered a terrific job in Waukesha County, doing the same kind of work, but at a higher pay level. Are you saying that if I leave Milwaukee County, even though I worked for Milwaukee County for 20 years, that I will lose the military credit on my pension in Milwaukee County?
Well, actually, at age 55, you would be eligible to take early retirement. So the sensible
54.
Thing for you. Darn it.
No accident.
and no accident. You just retire in good standing. You just resign in good standing to take a different job. And you plan subsequently upon reaching age 60 to apply for a deferred vested pension. My position would be that you would not have retired from the county within the meaning of the ordinance. And I believe that's the way it's been uniformly applied to date.
Those people are not considered retirees under this ordinance? The county doesn't consider those people retirees?
They are not considered to have retired from the county within the meaning of the ordinance.
I mean, isn't this almost slavery?
That's a little extreme. I mean, the point, no one has anything taken away from him or her. It's just that for whatever reason, the county board has chosen to adopt particular language which has the effect of limiting this additional pension service credit to the class of employees that choose to serve all the way till they're eligible to retire, all the way till they're eligible to draw a pension, to retire from active service to pension status. I don't know why.
Could you outline on the people who are the plaintiffs here, why did they not go to the end in their service with Milwaukee County? I mean, are there any rational reasons why they left early?
Your Honor, the record is devoid of any information about what motivated them to leave county employment and go work someplace else until they had reached retirement age. I assume a whole variety of reasons. They moved, they got a better job offer somewhere else.
Does the retirement system carry deferred vested retirees on its books as retirees?
It carries them on their books as pensioners. Once somebody becomes eligible and starts to draw a pension, and this is really a function of the computer system rather than any kind of, you know, legal construct, once they begin to draw a pension, they're in the system as pensioners.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that for all other purposes, the county considers people who depart from county service with a deferred vested retirement pension to be retirees. And if you ask the average county employee in the Milwaukee County Courthouse who takes this option, whether they're a retiree, you know, 99 times out of 100, they're going to say, yes, I'm a retiree.
Well, they enter
the
system with everybody else at the time that they become pensioners, at the time they, you know, not necessarily when they leave service. They will come into the retirement office upon reaching ordinary retirement age and say, you know, I worked here years ago. I worked here more than 6 years. I'm vested. I'm old enough to retire now. I'd like to draw my deferred vested pension, whereupon they are treated as pensioners.
That's not what they're going to say. They're going to say, I retired on this date. I had a deferred vested pension. I've been doing this other work, consulting or working for another county under Justice Prosser's hypothetical, etc., but now I'm here to claim my benefits because I've hit the age to start drawing on my pension.
You know, with all due respect, and I know Ms. Labor made that same argument in her reply brief, that in common parlance, you know, if you leave a job, you think of yourself as having retired from that job, but I honestly don't believe that to be the case as a general proposition.
Well, not just in common parlance, under the definition that's in the agreement or in the ordinance. Under both.
Well,
common sense and the language of the ordinance.
You know, I've worked for the county for 23 years. I'm vested in the system, but despite my haggard appearance, I'm not yet old enough to retire. So, if God willing, I will do that, whereupon I will go directly from
there to heaven.
And whatever, yes. Based on what one reads in the paper, evidently, but alas, some of that doesn't apply to me either. But anyway, if that happens, hopefully I'll do that, and then I will retire from the county. However, then people will say, Jorgensen retired from the county. If, however, my service with the county ends and I have to go work someplace else, people will say, you know, Jorgensen worked for the county a long time until he lost that pension case, and alas, you know, he ended up retiring from McDonald's. But I guess
even if you leave and don't get another job, you know, you manage your investments well. It's not dependent upon whether you go and do some other line of work.
Right. Well,
it's dependent on whether you meet the criteria to be considered this kind of a pensioner. And you've said that these people are considered pensioners. They just can't draw.
They are now that they have reached ordinary retirement age. Thereupon, they satisfied the requirements for a pension. But when they left county service, when they terminated county employment, they had not yet met the requirements for a pension.
Drawing a pension.
Right. And I guess we're not going to agree about that. But I'm just saying what I believe to be the case, and frankly what the Circuit Court and the Court of Appeals have felt to be the case under the plain import of the words chosen by the board when it enacted this ordinance.
Could I ask you, on page 17 of the appendix of the petitioner's brief,
excuse me. Yes.
What does that 2.11 mean? What does that termination of service paragraph mean?
All I don't think that that has anything to do with our case today. I think all that means is that if you're absent from the service for long enough for whatever reason, because of layoff or whatever, you're deemed to be gone from the system and we'll have to start over again. But I believe that that's what that means, that your service will only be kept on the books, if you will, for a period of 5 years, unless you're absent due to having to serve in the military.
That's assuming what, that there's been no vesting for that person?
When I suppose there's all kinds of different chronological scenarios here.
But if he's vested?
If he's vested, then I don't think that can mean that his credit is terminated. I think that
That's
means
what I'm
he,
asking.
I mean, yeah, that assuming that there is enough. Enough years of service based on whenever this person was hired because of, you know, there's been changes, of course, that he will still be vested, he or she will still be vested, and upon reaching ordinary retirement age could come back and apply for a deferred vested pension.
Hey, counsel.
I'm not sure.
Thank you for your argument. Your time is up.
Thank you.
And we will... hear from Ms. Labor.
Justice Prosser, with regard to your question on subsection 211, termination of service, I've represented employees of the County of Milwaukee where this section comes into play, and it only comes into play if someone has not worked the minimum length of service to have a vested pension. That is the only time that they're subject to losing their credit. Vested pension rights are property rights. They've been found to be so by the Court of Appeals and perhaps even the Supreme Court. So that only comes into play with people that have less years of service to become vested. And how many years of service you need to become vested varies on when you started your employment. Counsel for the, opposing counsel objected to what he claimed were remarks about that I have made regarding stooges that are acting outside of the board. The fact is that these three individuals, or if one of them is primarily the one to blame, didn't bring it in front of the board. I didn't call them stooges, but it's very obvious that they should be aware of their own rules and their own ordinances and know what the powers and the functions of the pension board are. And they are the ones that decided to bypass the pension board because they had made the decision. So that is based on their own actions by their own testimony under oath.
County, counsel, what does from the county mean?
From the county? It means that these people retired after working. They retired from employment from the County of Milwaukee versus retiring from Harnish Vager or Lattice Corporation or...
Well, why does that have to be in the ordinance? Isn't it surplusage? This ordinance only involves people who retire from the county.
Well, there might be quite a few people that wouldn't know that or wouldn't think that and might think that it has a broader application because a lot of county ordinances do apply to anybody who resides within the county or works within the county. The section of the state statute in Chapter 40 refers to retired from the state. Why are they saying that? Perhaps somebody from Illinois wants these provisions and they don't have it in Illinois. Why can't they make application then to get those? Common sense maybe would say that they don't. But would they have a legal basis? From the county, the is isolating and emphasizing the organization that they're retired from being the county. And county is referring to a governmental unit. Obviously, in this case, it's Milwaukee County. It comes under the Milwaukee County General Ordinance.
Mm-hmm. And the 201 chapter in the ordinance is County Employees Retirement System, and the county is defined as Milwaukee County. So I don't find really persuasive that someone from XYZ Company may look at this ordinance and say, oh, it applies to me. Maybe I'm just difficult to persuade, but I don't find that persuasive. Do you have any other explanation as to what the words from the county mean to rebut the argument of surplusage?
Well, that they separated from the county. From the county means separating from the county, separating their employment from the county. Other than referring to other groups, it certainly doesn't mean from the county can't mean that they immediately began receiving benefits or that they worked X amount of years. It's service that they're no longer performing for the County of Milwaukee. So they're retired from the county, county employment. I can't think of any contrary meaning to the word from or to the word the or to the word county. And
in reading this, something came to me, and that is it's a paragraph that deals with people who have, according to the definition of retirement, terminated employment. And they've been terminated employment with regard to the County of Milwaukee and also terminated employment with regard to the military service. And so for clarification as to what termination of employment you're dealing with, you would say terminate from the county, since you're dealing in that paragraph with both terminations. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what came to me.
I haven't thought of it that way, and the longer I read even one sentence in any part of that general ordinance, the more things I think of also. But I do know that when I hear, and I think that the common sense consensus would be that the term all retirees refers to all retirees. And according to case law, if an intent other than what is the plain meaning of all retirees was meant by the county board, the simplest way to address that would have been to write the ordinance to say that these provisions or this credit does not apply to deferred vested retirees.
Ms. Labor, your time is up.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we've been interested in both yours and Mr. Jorgensen's presentations this morning on this issue. And that concludes 01-1970, Bruno versus Milwaukee County. And the court will be in recess to 1:45 for our last case. The students will remain, and Justice Brazza will be here in a few moments. Anyone who wishes may join the students in Justice Brazza. 1:45.